Oh, yes, Lord, we want to thank you and bless you. The entrance of your word brings light and illumination. So we pray that you speak to us, teach us your word, line upon line, precept upon precept. In Jesus' name, amen. Can somebody tune my thing for me? There's a humming song. Hallelujah. Look at your friend and say, it's good to be by you. Can you take a seat? God's praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, last week we started sharing on how to handle your disagreements with your senior, with your father, with your pastor, you know, your senior pastor, or anybody that is an authority. And obviously in life, because we make decisions based on our standpoints, it means that we are going to be seeing things from different perspectives, and therefore disagreement is bound to happen. Where I'm standing, if you tell somebody to describe me, you describe me different from when somebody is standing behind me and somebody is standing by my side on the mirror side. So you realize that somebody says, oh, this is how this thing looks like, the way he's standing. Another person said they will stand. And it is because of your viewing points. So your point of view depends on your viewing point, where you are standing to look at things. Amen. And so it certainly there is bound to be disagreements. And in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says that how can two walk together except they agree? So you realize that for anybody to have good friendship with another person, there must be agreements. Somebody say agreements. Agreement means that they are seeing things from the same lenses, the same kind of perspective. Now, for any work of God to be done, or any institution to thrive well, there is a need for agreement. For a home to thrive well, there's a need for agreement. For a friendship to thrive well, there's a need for agreement. For a relationship to do well, there's an agreement. Sometimes you can see that in a relationship, the people keep fighting and fighting because there's no agreement. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, New American Standard Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, New American Standard Bible, NASB, if you can find that, the Bible says, New American Standard Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, please kindly work fast with me. I have a lot of scriptures to go through. New American Standard Bible. Get something close to that. He says, okay, the King James says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak what? The same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same what? Judgment. Look at four things. First, you should speak the same thing. That there will be no divisions, and that you'll be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Judgment means the way you are looking at things. Amen. So it's important that you say by the American Bible says that you all agree and that there'll be no divisions among you. So agreement is very important, that you be complete in the same mind and in the same judgments. Amen. Now, why is it important for us to agree? Before we even talk about the disagreement, why is it important? Because there are some people, it's like they don't agree. Everything they don't agree. Right now, if you take almost like our political parties, the two major parties, MDC, MPP, they don't agree on anything. Just for the sake of the fact that they belong to, I mean, they are different parties. So even if the thing is okay, they say it's not okay, they still find a way to puncture a hole in the thing. Yeah, they won't agree. Like they said, this is something. They described our budget as something. You know, some people say it's okay, some people say it's not okay. So there's no agreement at the parliament. Okay, good. But when it comes to Christianity, and it comes to the reality of life and truthfulness, there is a need for agreement. Amen. Yes. And I was talking about the fact that generally, now Paul says we should make sure that you agree. Generally, as you move with somebody, like I said, either the person is your father. Most children, when they grow to a certain stage, from maybe their mid-teens or to 20s, they don't agree with their father. It's like their father is not right. In fact, they actually go the opposite way of their fathers till they grow and they get to a certain age or get to a certain responsibility, then they appreciate their fathers. The girls also do the same till they marry and have children. And when they have one child, two children, say, is that how mommy was going through? What she was going through? Yeah. Oh, and for the guys, when now they also get to a point now, they marry and they have to become responsible and pay for this and pay for that. Say, hey, not knowing daddy was trying. Yeah. So it's like that. So I want to quickly talk about the four blessings of working in agreement. Why we have to work in agreement. Number one, agreement attracts God's blessings. Now, Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians that the scripture we read, let's read that scripture and then we go back onto it. Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree. And that we all, number one, what? Agree. Number two, that there be no what? Divisions. Because, you see, if there's division, we can't do well. Amen. And number three, that you'll be complete in the same mind. And number four, in the same judgments. Hallelujah. And pray that every relationship, this is what should happen. So why should there be agreements? Never marry anybody who doesn't agree with you. No. Anybody that doesn't agree with you cannot be your friend. Every marriage starts from friendship. If there's no proper friendship and there's no agreement, you don't agree on this, you don't agree on that, you don't agree on that. You say, okay, praise the Lord. You be a good Christian brother, a good Christian sister, but we can't go further. Don't use handsomeness or beauty or money or prestige or something. You'll be very disappointed. You will be very, very disappointed. The first key must be friendship and then respect. Anybody who doesn't respect you, you shouldn't. Don't entertain the person, you know, just within your space, because the person's disrespect can affect you emotionally. You can even lose your self-esteem. Amen? Yeah. You can lose your self-esteem. Many bad things can happen to you. If you are a man and your wife doesn't respect you, you can even become impotent. Sure. Hello? Yeah. For no reason. You cannot stand. Yes. Because you are not being respected. Why? Because every woman needs to, for every relationship to work, there are two things. The woman needs security, tender loving care. This one I'm giving to you for free. Tender loving care, TLC. Is that right? Yeah. So every woman wants that tenderness, the hand being, they say that wants a man who is romantic, put a hand around you, so how are you? How's your day, sweetie pie, honey, and things like that. Whisper sweet nothings in their ear. That's it. So the women cannot deal with that you know, affection. Showing them affection. Once you show them affection, that's it. But for a man needs significance also to survive. So the woman needs security from a man. That's why he's trying, is everything okay? Is anybody competing with her and all those kind of things? The man needs significance. Somebody say significance. And in significance, we are talking about adequacy, respect, and admiration. ARA. Someone say ARA. So the man must feel adequate. Adequate means he's got a job. A man who is walking around and he has a beautiful wife or whatever, and his business is not working well, he is not complete mentally and emotionally. Amen. He hasn't got a room of his own or a house of his own. He hasn't got a bed of his own. He hasn't got, his business is not working well. Well, he's almost like somebody who's going mad. So he needs a job. Because when God created man, he put him in the garden and said, tend it, take care of it. So a man must have work to do. So the first qualification for a man to marry is that he must have work to do. And he must have a home. Am I helping you? That is why you don't qualify to marry if you don't have a job. You must have a home where you will take care. You must be the one to take care of the home. No matter how much money your wife is bringing and things like that, you must show a sense of responsibility. Can I have an amen? Good. So the man must be adequate. He has his fridge, he has his TV set, he has this, at least one or two things. Something that makes him feel adequate. Amen? And so the man likes a woman who makes him feel adequate. That is why if you're a good wife, you must help your, think about your husband, how was work? You know, what's going on at the workplace and things like that. So you make sure that the man is adequate. It helps the relationship to keep together. Yeah. So a woman should never try to compete with a man when it comes to work. To try to prove that I'm better, I'm this, I'm that. In the home, your place is that you are an assistant. You are helping the man to fulfill his vision. Even though God has given you your own vision or something, you are helping the man. I don't know why I'm cutting here, but I believe that it's to help somebody. Amen. Then the next thing about the man, you know, his significance is respect. Yeah, he must feel respected. So most men will say, you don't respect. And if you are in a home where your children don't respect your husband, when you are in a place where you are not well respected, you don't function well. That is why in the military, police and all those things, they have ensured that they've put regulations whereby whether you like your boss or not, your leader or not, you must respect. Other than that, the institution cannot function well. So there must be respect. And when the man feels respected, he can now play his role well. Anybody who feels respected plays his role well. But if he's not respected, it affects how he does. He says, yes, I'm going to talk about my people. This boy, you know, even in some homes, you see the man says, my children don't respect. My wife doesn't respect. So as I'm going to talk, I'm not even too sure whether they listen to me or not. Those things, you have lost control. Amen? And then the next thing, and when you are not respected, emotionally you are not complete. And you must be at a place where you are celebrated and not tolerated. So when the woman just tolerates you, your wife just tolerates you. So, you know, I've married you. I'm just only showing you mercy. I'm just there. No. It's not a good thing. Am I teaching something here? Yeah. It's not in my notes. As I'm just teaching, the Holy Spirit has brought these things about the agreement. I'm talking about agreement. Amen. Yes. Respect. Respect. And so where there's no respect, and A is so is ARE, significance is equal to ARE. Security is TLC. And significance is what? ARE. Adequacy, respect, and admiration. So when the man doesn't feel respected and admired, you know, sometimes a woman will say, you touch your husband, oh, you look good. I like your muscle. I like the way you do this. You know, the man feels admired. Amen. Yes. If you are there, you marry Queen Elizabeth, and Queen Elizabeth doesn't admire you, then it's a bad game. It's a bad game. You must feel admired. And it is when you are admired, that is when there are blessings from your inner resources. That's when you become strong, and that is why you really become a man. Am I teaching something here? So don't think of going to marry a Queen Elizabeth when the Queen Elizabeth will not show you, will not ensure that there's adequacy, respect, and admiration. And sister, don't go and marry Mr. Hercules if there will not be tender, loving care. Amen? Shouting on you, slapping you, and things like that. If you're in a relationship and a man has been slapping you, it's a serious red flag. Yeah, it's a serious red flag. So there must be agreements. Are you getting me? Yeah. I mean, there are some relationships I can just prophesy with my eyes open. It won't work. Oh, yes. There are people who have come to me. I just knew. But there are some people you can't advise them truthfully because you become their enemies. So it's okay. Is she nice? Oh, yeah, she's nice. He's fine. Yes, he's fine. He's fine. Because you make the decision. Why don't you have to talk too much? Because Psalm 25 verse 12 says that the one who fears the Lord, he helps him to choose. So you must buy into the mind of God. Check the scripture, Psalm 25 verse 12. Who is a man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He teaches you in the way you choose. And God doesn't just dump anything on you. You make the choice. Life is about choices. You are here by choice. Amen. Am I helping somebody here? You are making me veer off my main message. Let me get back to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. So the every person you must pray. Eh? In the days of old, before people made decisions, they would always inquire of the Lord. The Bible says, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue them? Will I overtake? By this time, with just our naked eyes and all the physical things we are gaining, we make choices and decisions. I'm going here because of what I'm gaining. I'm going here. No. You see, don't even enter into relationship because of what you are gaining, but enter into it by purpose. Now, God has called me here, and that this is supposed to be my purpose or my role in this person's life. That after marrying this person's life should be better by 6 months' time, 1 year's time, the life should become better. This person who is my friend, I am going to make an investment into this person's life. For that, this person will become ABCD. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Yesterday or 2 days ago, a friend of mine sent something to me from the U.S. And apparently somewhere in 1985, when we were at a university, there was a gentleman that I had pursued to preach the word of God to, pray the Holy Spirit baptism for. And today, by the grace of God, has become a huge man of God, very powerful theologian, and all those things, you know. And I was just telling myself that, I mean, I never thought he was going to be such a person. And that wasn't a motivation, and I was falling upon him and rushing on him. But today, out of that, I didn't even know. No, he was an atheist, someone who didn't even believe in God at all. But by the grace of God, now he's a defender of the things of God. And his life is on course. I'm so glad. I will later show you. And then I'm told that Dr. Otabel even made him to, you know, give his testimony. Yes, in a big meeting. The God affair. So this little potato here, by the grace of God, yours truly. Yes. Yeah, God using people to share the word of God. And today my friend called from America and they did a conference call just before he came in. And then they called me. And the guy said, thank you. Thank you. You pursued me. You helped me to become be saved. He said, you forced. He said, one thing he didn't know is I was an atheist. And I didn't believe in God and things like that. And he said, after I ministered to him and prayed for him, he could pray evening 8 o'clock to the following day to midday. Yes, praying. Yes. That's why he said, because you guys could pray 10 hours continuous and all those things. So the thing got into me, and now I could go and lie on my bed and pray 8 in the evening to the following day, 12 noon. Yes. 16 hours without sleeping, just there praying. And today he's a blessing. How can two dwell together? So now quickly, what are the four blessings for walking? The first thing about the scripture we read was that Paul was saying there should be agreement. Is that right? So why should there be agreement? Eh? Why should you agree with your father? Why should you agree with your pastor? Yes. Eh? Why should you agree? Number one, it attracts God's blessings. Agreement attracts God's blessings. Psalm 113. So 133 verse 1 to 3. Let's read from King James and then we'll read from the Message version. Psalm 133. 133 verse 1 to 3. This is a scripture everybody should know. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Hallelujah. Tension is not a good thing. It's always good to dwell in unity. It is like precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. Verse 3. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. Why is it there? In the agreement, the Lord commands the blessing. So blessing comes where there's what? Agreements. Hallelujah. So anytime there's agreement, there's no blessing. Yeah? Where there's no agreement, there's no blessing. So it's very important. If you even look, when in our parliament, where the majority and the minority keep fighting over that, the more they keep fighting over it, the more they don't reach an agreement, and therefore the nation suffers. Are you getting me? And sometimes people take entrenched positions, even relationship or whatever, they say, me, I'm not budging. This is the way I think. This is the way I want it. And they will not budge at all. They will not make compromises at all in any way. You know? And I believe that if God didn't make compromises and, you know, to turn his eyes towards us, all of us would have been finished. So don't be somebody who is just there chinchinaing. You don't make compromise. The reason for your head is so that you can make changes. Yeah, God gave you brain. The head is there to make changes. You are not, it is robots who don't make it. You are not a robot. Yes, so you must learn to make changes by the power of the Holy Spirit when the Lord is convicting you. Can I have an amen? Am I preaching here? Number two, you know, it attracts answers to prayer. Let's look at Matthew 18:16. First, we said it attracts what? Blessings. Do you want to be blessed? Then learn to agree. Hallelujah. He says, if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. So there's establishment by the mouth of two or three. Now, the second one is that agreement attracts answers to prayer. Number one is agreement attracts what? Blessings. Number two, attract answers to prayer. Matthew 18:19. The scripture is Matthew 18:19. I say unto you, if two of you, so we say, if two of you, yeah, agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Wow. So this is actually the key of prayer. Anytime you are praying and there's something, and you alone is not working, look for another person. That is why we come to church, and that is why we have got corporate prayer. Bible says one shall put to flight 1,000, but 2 10,000. And that's the law of coupling effect. In the law of coupling, C-O-U-P-L-I-N-G, in the law of coupling effect, you see, what an individual cannot do, you know, the two are able to do it with ease. The law, that's what Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter, that two are better than what? One. Two are better than one. Can you put that scripture there before we get in there? Two are better than one. Where is it? Ecclesiastes what? Hey, two are better than one. Where is it? Hey, where are my pastors? So you all don't know where scripture is. Two are better than one. If you don't tell me today, you are no more pastors. We have removed your pastoral role from you. No. If you don't know this, and anybody who has been in this church for 1 year and you don't know this scripture, I've removed minister from you. I've removed Ecclesiastes. There are some scriptures. I think very soon I'll give you scriptures, everybody, that you must learn. You must chew, Baba. You see, when we're growing up, you see, some of you, you think the thing we are doing is just magic or because we are pastors. We're intentional about learning scripture. We'll write the thing on a piece of paper. Small piece of paper like this. Write on a piece of paper. Then you write, Ecclesiastes 4:19. So 4:9, two are better than one. For the good word, reward for their labor. Ecclesiastes 4:19. So 2:9. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one. Have a good reward for their labor. So maybe you say the first one, two are better than one. Two are better than one. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. And sometimes you didn't get everything. Then you put it in your pocket. So whilst you are sitting in the truck, we are sitting, by the time you get to where you are getting to, at least part of the verse has come into your head. So you write one in the front, one at the back. So every time there's a piece of paper in your pocket with scripture in it. So if your mind is sharp, by the close of the day, you have it. Those of you who drive, you can stick it on your car where there's traffic. You peep at it, you look at it. When sometimes we are going, we are taking a walk. As we are walking, you look at it a little. Then you are meditating. That's why I say, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mind, but heart, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will make your way. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And it starts, that's in Joshua 1:8. It starts with you. Can I have an amen? You can, listen to me. Let me tell you, by the grace of God, I've been a Christian for so many years, serving the Lord and working in the church, in the house of God. This year, 46 years. You cannot place your life, this your life, in the hands of a man. In the hands of anybody. Is that right? Even health, you can't put in the hands of a doctor. You have to learn how to do things in a healthy way. Eat healthy, walk healthy, do whatever, do all those things. If you have a leg problem, he can help you. Right? But you can't say, oh, they are doctors, so I will live my life anyhow. So you can also say, I've pastors, I've got prophets, maybe a prophet. You don't live your life, put your life in the hands of a prophet who prophesies. He doesn't see everything. He doesn't know everything. Don't be deceived. By the grace of God, I see things. I hear things of God. But it's not everything I see. One day, Elisha said, somebody's child passed. Elisha said, this one God hid it for me. So it means that you must know God for yourself. You must know God. And to know somebody, you see, to know somebody, you must have private time with the person. Until you have private times with people, when you see people publicly, you don't know them. Sometimes people see somebody out there, they say, oh, he's a nice guy. He's a nice woman. Go and talk to her privately. Meet her in the house. Meet her in the office. Talk to her privately. That is when you know who the person is. And for public, everybody tries to be, you know, politically correct. Am I teaching you something here? So you also must know the word of God. Know God. You see, when God wanted to speak with Moses, he said that, come alone. Don't come with anybody. I don't know anybody here who has gone to propose to a woman that he went with 2-3 friends and said, well, I'm come to propose. Usually you go alone. If somebody is even around, say, Charlie, just, I'm going to do something. Just stay aside. Yes. Because as you go, maybe you can change the thing. The girl looks at you and looks at your friends. Then he sees your friend. Maybe he's your friend that he might decide to. So say, Charlie, stay around. I'm sharing something here. If you want somebody to speak his heart to you, be alone with the person. Amen? Yes. I mean, when I want to speak very serious things with some people, I don't want too many people around. Eh? There are things I can tell every one of you, which publicly I will not say. But when I meet you one-on-one, I can say some things to you. Yes. What I actually need to say to you, I'll say to you. But the preaching there is a general something. Amen. So try to know God for yourself. Know the scriptures. Hallelujah. So number two, we say what? If two of you, it attracts blessings. Answers to prayer. If two of you shall agree on what? Anything. We are back to Matthew 18:19. I'm just trying to warm up on my preaching. If two of you shall agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father. So when you want a husband, call a friend, a trusted friend. Call a wife. If you want a wife, call the... Just agree with somebody. And by the grace of God, there are people that have agreed with them about things. And as we agreed, the results came quick. It's agreements. Amen. So oftentimes when you come to church and then maybe there's a need and you come to your pastor for your pastor to pray for you, what you are doing is that you are requesting for a prayer of what? Agreements, where one shall put to flight 1,000. So every time, that is why you must go to, you must pray with a person that you have faith and confidence in. Amen. Yeah, because there are people that are praying for you, see that they don't trust a prayer. If you don't, and if somebody doesn't answer your prayer for the person, but you must have somebody you pray with. You didn't say amen. Yeah, everybody here, you must have somebody. Just decide, even once a week, have somebody in the church who become your friend. Yeah, when we were growing up, we had praying partners. Amos, I listen to me. Today, your name is in the Bible. How can two work together? Except what? They agree. So get somebody who is a friend and agree and pray. Say, sister, this, brother, this, and be praying, and you will see. And you see, one of the reasons why the prayer of agreement also works is because sometimes one can ask for something and nobody minds. But when another goes to make plea, or two people go and make the plea, they just look at the people and say, okay, this was their camp. So when three go and four go, then you see that more pressure is being applied on the person. So when 10 people ask and 20 people ask, and that is why the power of corporate prayer, when we come and say, we are praying about this, you will see that it moves God even to do greater things for us. Yes, it's very important. Hallelujah. And that is why even Jesus, in his moment of temptation, you see that he took his disciples, said, let's go and pray. He would take them, let's go and pray. Then he asked them, could you not pray with me 1 hour? Yes, you need prayer. And that is why everybody needs prayer. Paul said, pray with me. If Paul asked for prayer, then who are we? And Jesus told his disciples to go and pray. So the point I'm saying, you see, Jesus didn't take the Pharisees to go and pray. He took his disciples that he believed would agree with him. So agreement brings, number one, blessing. Number two, answers to prayer. Number three, it attracts God's presence. Matthew 18, 20. We are still in Matthew 18. Matthew 18, 20. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, the in there is actually an accusative case in the Latin, which is into my name, I am there in the midst of them. So where two or three are gathered together in my name, he didn't say where two or three are gathered, I am there. Other than that, then the Lord will be at a sports stadium, and he will be at a prostitute's house and all those things. But when we gather in my name, means that when you have gathered because of my name, is that right? And as you have gathered there, we have gathered because of the name of God. So when we gather under a tree, or we gather at the car park, or we gather on the street, in the name of God, God is there. So where two of us are gathered together in my name, I'm there. I'm there means what? My presence is there. So it means that where is God's presence right now? No, I want to ask you a question. Where is God's presence now? So when you meet your fellow believer and you have met in the name of the Lord, where is God's presence? Yes. And that is why you must respect the presence of a believer. And when you see your fellow believer, you must be excited. And when another Christian shows up, it means that, I mean, you have actually fulfilled the law of scripture for God to be present. If where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst. And then in the Matthew 18, 19, he said, if two of you shall agree on earth, if two of you, go back to the 19, if two of you shall agree on earth, are we on earth? This is the key to answer prayer. Are we on earth? Concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them of my Father. So do you have a prayer request? So the first thing about it is that you must be two or three. Eh? So are we two or three? Number two, are we on earth? Number three, which is the most important, do we agree? So you can be on earth, you'll be two or three, but you may not agree. But if you are two or three, you are on earth. Obviously, we're on earth. And you are. So once on earth, you have to get two or three. So two or three means what? You have fulfilled the second scripture. On earth means the first one has been fulfilled. Is that right? Two or three. Second one has. But the third one is a very crucial one. Agreements. So once you agree, then you know that the thing affects God. Jesus said, I didn't say, it's the words of Jesus, that if only two of you shall agree on it, it means that a lot of times, the reason why we don't have the answers is because we have actually not agreed. And sometimes you can be praying, but you have not really agreed on it. You don't have faith that it is going to happen. But once you have faith that it's going to happen, oh, it's going to happen. He says, because how did he say? Jesus said, if two of you shall agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So the Father in heaven is ready to do anything if two or three shall agree on earth. I pray that you get this revelation. Amen. So you need a husband, you need a wife, you need a car, you need a thing. Grab somebody. You see, I remember years ago, I was in England, and this young pastor just called me, and he said, I've seen a car in this part of London, and I'm interested. And that time, that car was about 400 and it's just 20 pounds or 40 pounds or something. And then he told me, can you come and agree with me and pray on the car so that I'll get the money to buy it? I mean, so I left my house, went with him, and we went and laid hands on the car and prayed and spoke in tongues, prayed and prophesied. We said, we claim, we pray, we pray, we receive the money. And truly too, the money came and he bought the car. Prayer of agreement. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Prayer of agreement. Am I teaching you something here? It's a revelation. It's a key, sister. It's a key. Your beloved is doing something, your husband is doing something. Grab somebody and say, let's pray. The Bible says, the heart of a king is in God's hands. He turn it whithersoever he will. Lord, turn the heart of my father. Lord, turn the heart of my husband. Lord, turn the heart of my beloved. Lord, turn the heart of this. Whatever is going on, there's somebody that I'm bidding for a contract at the ministries, but there's somebody who doesn't want me to have this thing. Lord, and then take the name of the person. Paul said, I mentioned thy name. Mention their name. If people can take people's name to juju, take the person's name to the Most High God. Oh. Take them, mention them, my name, and say, Lord, this person, Lord, is harassing me. This person is troubling me. Oh, Lord, may you save this person. That's how we get people to be saved. You see, the guy who I preached to, who got saved, 1985, that's what I took him. I prayed. I was praying. He said, you harass me that I had to go to church. So when he said, that's what he told me. He said, you are on me. You are on my case. You are on my case, and you harass me. It was prayer, not only just going to call him, prayer, mention him. This brother must be saved. This brother, so an atheist, taking the name of the atheist before God, whichever was influencing him, was broken and he came to know Jesus. And today he's advocate Jesus, PhD. He holds a full PhD preaching for Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Are you learning something today? Number four, agreement gives you strength. Strength to do almost everything you plan to do. Strength. Someone say strength. Yeah. You see, when you agree with, even in sports, you see, where there's agreement, they sing, and then sometimes you see, before they go and play the football match, they hold themselves, then they'll clap their hands, and go. It's like, Kale, we have agreed to go and win. Yeah? Comoros agreed to win. Our boys were not hungry. They were not hungry. I've noticed something. Listen, you will never be satisfied with anything until you are hungry for it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. See, many people even become Christians for 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, and they never grow up because they are not hungry for God. No. They are not hungry for God. I preach to somebody. And when the person got born again, within 6 months at the university campus, he was more than somebody who had been years older. And he was now chasing after the older Krife guys on campus, and leading prayer and all those. As I saw that, the people were there just making themselves Krife Nana, Krife Nana. They didn't know who he did. They had no passion. What will make your lives different is the passion. Passion. Having a desire. I don't want to be the same God. I don't want to come to the church the same. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to be an ordinary Christian. I'm saying this because when I got born again, my first 2 years, I seemed to be an ordinary Christian. I wasn't a bad guy per se, but I wasn't too hungry for God per my environment. Till I heard something and I said, there must be a change. Yes, there must be a change. My friend from U.S. just called me yesterday. He said, he said, the first day I preached, he said, he was even describing the color of my dress, my shorts and everything that I was wearing. And he said, the way I was talking, he said, this young guy, he said, this passionate guy, I don't know where he's coming from. That's how I attracted his attention. We became friends. Yes. You must be passionate. You come to church when it's praise and worship, you even lift your hands. We don't see young people that have to be dancing. That praise and worship. Our time, we didn't have drums, no guitar, nothing. It is abonsem. And we are there. We are clapping our hands and jumping around and coming to the front and jumping like frogs that have found termites, Afrikiti. And we're happy. Excited about Jesus. But sometimes when I see you, I say, well, these guys, they are not hungry. And when you are not hungry, you cannot eat. When you are not thirsty, yes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You are not being filled with the gifts of the Spirit. You are not being filled with the power of God, and you are looking elsewhere for power. Meanwhile, you can be filled with the power. It's true. Many Christians are going somewhere. Has somebody got some power so he can lay hands on me? Somebody can tell you something mystical about me? No, you can know mystical things about yourself. You too, you can become Mr. Mystical, Madam Power, Mr. Power. Oh, when you are hungry, I say, Lord, you can touch me too. You can change me too. You can touch me. You can affect my life. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to go. That's why I say, I don't want to go the same way I came. Touch me with your hand. Jesus, I don't want to go the same way I came. Touch me with your hands. Jesus, touch me with your hands. Jesus, oh, touch me with your hand. Yeah, Rabba Shane, Rabba
Jesus.
Okay, that's okay. You know, no, listen to me. When you go before a president, do you want to go back the same? Obviously, you want to some contract or some deal, something. Is that not it? You don't want to go to a president, go to Flasa. Mr. President, I came to shake your hand. Who goes there like that? Who goes there like that? I said, who goes there like that? And you think the president hasn't got anything that he said, he came only to shake my hand. He said, why do you come and waste my time? You are coming. Why do you come and waste your time? You must go to the Flag South South, the presidency, with an agenda. And when you are getting before the presidency of the Most High God, you must go there with an agenda. I want to be a different person. I don't want to change. That's why when you get up and you are in the presence of your worship, you say, I don't want to go the same. I don't want the day to end the same. Oh, yesterday is gone. Another day has gone. Do something new in my life. Touch my life. Change my life. Let people in my family know that I'm a different person now. Amen. I remember my brother, my kid brother, many years later, he was telling me, he said, you went to school, when you came back, realize that you have changed. You are changed. I said, how do you know? He said, the things you used to do, you don't do them again. Every time you are in the room, we used to roam around, you don't roam around again. You don't do this again, you don't do that again. You are changed. You are changed. You are changed. My dear friend, listen, our lives will be the same. Every service, we just come and go, write notes while we are sitting down, give offering, give tithe, and you will never see a significant change in your life and relationship with God until you are hungry and until you are thirsty for righteousness and say, Lord, change me. Lord, prepare me. Let me become a sanctuary, a vessel of honor. How can an atheist, the guy, he said he used to have his stepmother used to worry them so much. He used to worry them so much and all those things. And you can't fight your stepmother because that's the beloved of your father. So he had to find a way for, God to deal with the whole thing. And he said, one day, he said, Jeff, he will go and lie on his bed and be praying. Bible says, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. He didn't go and fight a stepmother and say, hey, aye, oh, hey, witch, oh, Teshua, and all those things. She'll go and be praying. Oh, some of you are so honam hello, flesh. He was going, praying, presenting her before God, presenting the matter. He said, one day for her, he said, as he finished the prayer, he stepped out. The woman was not around. She had packed the things and gone. The family went to see her. He said, come. He said, I'll come, but she never came back. Whatever spirit. Is somebody here with me? You must decide that, hey, I must get some spiritual strength. Something must change. Something must change about my academic life. Can I have an amen? Something must change. I remember we all wrote a paper. When we finished, everybody was crying. I look at the professor's daughter who was the one who gave us the exam. She herself was, her face was, her face was what? Everybody was, and I prayed. I said, Lord God Almighty, send your angels. Everything that I wrote, all the rubbish I wrote, let the angels take it, abstract it, and let them insert the right things. And when they came, I had got an A. I told brother, I'll get people to the school first. I said, let us go and pray. Let's pray on this. Let's pray about this. And God was intervening, just like that. I see God intervening. I said, I see God intervening in your case. So, when you pray, it, number one, it attracts blessings. Number two, it attracts what? Answers to prayer. Number three, God's presence. Hallelujah. Every real prayerful person, you will see that you carry something when you are working. You are not ordinary. Amen. Yeah. That's what I would say. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm. You see? When you touch, yeah, if this my dress is anointing, right? Yeah. When you touch the dress, you think you are slapping me, but it's anointing you are slapping. It's anointing you have touched. Touch not my anointed. Are you here with me? Yes. The anointing builds, but it breaks. The anointing can kill. You know, Jesus is not what? Jesus who? Christ of Nazareth. The word Christ means what? The anointed one and his anointing. Today I want to teach you something. Be very careful. Amen? When you are dealing with the Father, you are dealing with a spiritual person. He may look, in fact, most fathers say, for the sake of relationship, they look very easy to go, but they are very dangerous. Whether you're going to be alive, whether how far your life will go depends on your relationship with your Father. The presence of a father in your life determines, an anointed father determines how your life will go, your promotion or demotion in life. Are you here with me? Get this, I'm finishing. I didn't touch on the message I wanted to tell. This is just the introduction. The presence of a father in your life will determine a promotion or demotion in life. You know, Jesus was a father to his disciples. Is that not it? To them, they got saved. They are following him and all those things. Then comes this guy called Judas. Who for the sake of his stomach, be careful that because of stomach, food you eat, which you poo-poo on the other side, front here, it descends from behind you. And when it's leaving you, the scent is not even nice. The smell in front is nice as you are eating it, but the smell behind you is bad. Be careful. Everybody, I want you to know this scripture in First John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. We'll get there. Put it, write it there. I'll come to that place. Everybody, you must know it and you must live by it. Amen. Read it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, so somebody say, what is the world? Then he begins to describe it. Verse 16. All that is in the world, what's in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Did you get that? So the lust of the flesh is what? The fleshly things, the feelings. Eh? Yeah. I want to have this, the lust of the eyes. I want to have the car. I want to have a new house, wonderful job, money, dollars, whatever, pounds, euros, this, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I now look important. Eh? Now I'm important. You importance yourself. You become very contentious. People see you and say, oh, yes, Oga. Oh, yes, Oga. Sometimes you even have to ask yourself, why do you pray for some things? What is the motivation? What you may be doing may be right, but the motivation may be wrong. Your motive, you even want power. What's the reason for a power? So that people go, hey, challenge a person of power. Want to be beautiful. Oh, just for beauty's sake. There must be a reason. But let me just come to this one. I'll come back there later. Touch not my anointed. Put a scripture that is in Psalm. And do my prophets what? No harm. Kofi, are you here with me? Are you here with me? See? Scripture no Americano. It's going to help you. Amen. And then after that, you put the Hebrews, I believe, 7:8, that the ground has been watered. Take note of that. We are finishing. I'm just, rounding up on this. Today, I didn't get into my message at all. Oh, Lord. But I believe you have been blessed. Saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophet's word no harm. And Jesus was known as a prophet of God. Is that not it? And he was anointed. How do you know he's anointed? Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. You see, this church, as you are preaching, I'm giving you scriptures. It's not stories. And if you are here in this church, you are a serious person, you will become a great preacher. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Then Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. Amen. So Jesus himself claimed to be himself to be anointed. Now, and he's known as Jesus the Christ. That means what? The anointed one and his what? Anointing. Hello? I told you that. Let's say, come, sir. Come, the two of you, come. Come. He's an anointed one. Yeah? Yeah, he's an anointed one. Right? Good. And he's wearing this. So, he's an anointed person. Let's say he's the anointed one and his anointing. So, his anointed one, his anointing. That's what he's wearing. He wears anointing. Now, when you come and you want to touch him. He's done something, you want to slap him. You know, what did he touch first? Maybe if you don't mind, yeah, you don't mind a little water? Yeah. Open the water for me. Okay, now watch it. You know. I like what he said. Before you get the anointing, there will be Ajay. Do you know what? Every anointing comes from a nut. Oil comes from a nut. Palm oil from a nut. Granite oil, peanut oil from what? A nut. Eh? Coconut from a nut. And all of it you have to what? Press. Boil, press. So before you get the anointing, you got to go through pain. It's through pain and shame that you get the anointing. discomfort. You don't just get anointed. You don't just sleep. You don't just eat your kogari all the time. Gobe. Yeah, 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 yeah. Gobe. Then you bet. Oh. Then you have eaten your gobe. And then you. Then in the afternoon, you go and eat kokonte. Palm nut soup. Then in the evening, you are eating of rice with leaves, and all the leaves are on your teeth. And you keep eating. That's the way. And there's no time for fasting. You are a Christian. The whole month you ate, you are not correct. You can't be eating the whole month. Every week, there must be a day where you are fasting. Every month, there must be 2-3 days where you are sometimes going there, either you are fasting, you know, half day or whatever. That is how to be able to get oil. You don't need to become a pastor. You don't need a title pastor. You need the oil on you all the time. I'm telling you. And Satan is after your faith. John 10:10. He comes not but for us to steal, to kill, and to destroy you. If you don't know, he has put you, he has marked you. You say, you are next. I'm coming for you. You, I'm coming for you. The only reason why he can't get you is that when he comes, when there's oil on you and they want to grab you, there's a slip grip so they can't pull you. Yes. The oil on you is, you see, oil on sardine. So when you open the sardine, it's intact. It's not broken. It's of the oil. So the oil on you, power of the Holy Spirit, makes it unbreakable. And the oil on you makes you unpullable. Because when there's oil on somebody, the person's skin is slippery. Amen. I'm teaching you how to be a serious and a strong Christian. Not just somebody who just following things and following some magic or something. Man of God, I can see. After he has done, I can see. You do see. I can feel. Do you feel? Are you also a Christian? Do you know your God? The sons of Sceva said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know Paul, I know, but who are you? It's a question. Are you getting me? Even the demons know who is anointed. Can the demons say that, Charlie, this guy is anointed, we don't have to go there? The only time you sing spiritual songs is when you are in church. The only time. When was the last time that you sat down, you were lifting hands by yourself, you were singing, and you were kneeling down, you were crying, and said, Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. And you were worshiping. 1 hour worship. When was the last time you worshiped 1 hour? Even 30 minutes by yourself. Oh, Lord, you are beautiful. And you are just happy and say, Lord, I thank you for the gift of life. I thank you for my father. I thank you that I'm saved. I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you. You are not asking for. Oh, man. You don't know God. Touch not my anointing. So now watch it. Touch him. Touch him. Yeah. Can you feel? So you see, now the anointing you have, continues. Is that right? Because its quantity diminishes as you are using it. When oil is there for a long time, it reduces in viscosity. In effectiveness. That is why Jesus Christ, even Jesus Christ, will wake up every morning and for a great while before they go and pray to stir up the anointing which he has used. So, the anointing, see, he received anointing for some time, but over a period, it's drying out. So, sometimes you can be so, oh, I used to be anointed, but it's dried out. more anointing. Fresh. David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now what has happened in your hand? So as you touch him, what did you touch?
I touched the water.
So you touch what? You touch the anointing. It's the anointing you have touched. So you thought that you are touching a man. You were doing a man wicked. You are misbehaving towards a man. You are talking bad about a man. You are maligning a man. You are deceiving a man. Eh? You want to gain an advantage somewhere by destroying the man. I hear with me. Oh, yes. But you don't know that you have touched anointing. And the anointing you touch, eh, can kill you. Do you know why? Jesus was anointed. Then this guy called Judas. You see, be careful when you have been under somebody who has laid hands on you, prayed for you, and blessed you. I'm teaching something. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm teaching this out of an open heart to be a blessing to you. It's never a threat. It's never. Sometimes when some of you even are blessed to have a pastor who is teaching you the reality of the word of God, say they are threatening. They are threatening you for what? It's your own life. You are destroying. You see, because everything is a seed. You must understand from today that everything you do is a seed. You plant tomato seed, you get tomato fruits. Everything you are doing is a seed. You will fulfill Galatians 6:7. Seed time and harvest time, you fulfill it. In Genesis 8:22. So long as the earth may see time and harvest time. Are you here with me? Let's say if you slap your father or you do something to your father, you hurt your father, but you'll be the one who's destroyed. You speak evil about your father, you leave your father. It's like if you are there, if you just get up and leave your father, you have sown a seed to be left. One day, your children will leave you. You'll be looking for them, you'll not find them. Your wife will leave you. Your husband will leave you. Some important person, for no reason. It's at the time you are not expecting, it will happen to you. Because you sowed a seed at a certain time. Hello? Are you listening to what I'm teaching you? I want to help you. I want to help you. Okay? Before I finish on this one, put Genesis. You see? If a person has been a blessing to you, Bible says, and you repay him with evil, Bible says, evil will not depart from your house. Don't repay evil with good. Put that scripture there. Don't repay evil with good, or else what? Evil will not, because you sowed a seed of evil, evil will never depart from your house. Hello? When you sow good things, I told the seed you sow, you reap. The Holy Spirit just told me something today, that Sunday, when we went to Bishop Eddie's place, and prior to that, the week before, I was spoken about what Bishop Eddie, God used his life to do for me. We've been friends for about 40 years, and I rehearsed it. And Sunday, I stood before his leaders and all those things, and I rehearsed, this man did this. I mentioned, not that he's been good to me. What's the meaning of he's been good to me? I had to rehearse. You know, many of you don't know how to be able to say thank you. You have to learn to rehearse. I said, my wedding, he was there. He taught me my car. When we used to the same car, type of car. It was a front wheel drive. It was doing ka. When he noticed the how to fix it, he showed me how to do. You know, because anytime we're going to our in-laws were friends. Very good friends. They've been friends over 65 years. Yeah. Anytime we are going to their home, the ka. It was a very disgraceful thing. He showed me how to get out of disgrace. When I was marrying, he came to lead praise and worship for me. When my mother died, he was there to preach. When I was being consecrated, he was there. Early morning, 7 o'clock, he was there. He came and cut the cake with me. When my daughters were married, they were there. When Lady Ku was married, he came to preach. You see, you have to learn to document, and never forget. Are you getting me? And he was sitting there, and his people. And not that I wanted to say it for him to be, but to just let him know that I do appreciate. You be my friend, you have been my whatever, but I appreciate that, because you don't know the sacrifice people make in order to be there for you, to be at your function. You don't even know the spiritual attacks they receive. Are you here with me? One of our sisters was going to get married. The day of her marriage, as she had dressed up, coming out, bees were in front of her house. Literally, it's not a spiritual thing, literally bees. They called me in the house. When I prayed, the moment I prayed, all of a sudden, in my house, the bees left. The moment I prayed, the bees left spiritual authority. They didn't. There was a sister that any time that she got into a relationship, 2-3 months, the relationship would break. Maximum 4 months. Continue different relationships. And I knew that this one, there's an enemy action. And I told her, come. And for a period, she was with us. You don't know the spiritual attacks we had to go through. There have been times that we'll be there, literally somebody has thrown toilets into my house. You open the gate and there are big crabs there. Then you see snakes. One day, all the way into my bedroom. And where my bedroom is, there's no way that any snake can slither from the outside into the living room, through the corridor, some whatever, to the bed. I know that. Yes. And the time that we're going to have, they say, my back, I received an attack that I couldn't turn even on my bed. When I turn, I scream because of the sister. So you don't know what it takes for you to be able to marry and have children. The day I was going for, with my back hurting me, and they put me in the car, and my back was twisted, and I was going for her engagement to go and still pray, because I wanted to supervise and make sure that the marriage was coming on. And my back was twisted with pain. Pain. They literally carried me and put me in the car. When I was getting down, they had to support me to get down. And when I get there, when I come to church, I act like everything was so when I had to, I would take my time. And before they invite me to come and preach, I'll just see if I'm this. Then I'll stand and I'll be stretching and be doing so that I can gain some good gates and go and stand and preach and bless their marriage. You don't know what it takes. So don't hurt an anointer and somebody who has been there for you. That's what Paul told Onesimus, you owe me your very life. You owe me your very life. And what you have. And some of us, you owe somebody your very life and where you have reached. Are you here with me? And so and you don't have to see, sometimes you see somebody else or other thing, then you have jumped and then you have left that. No, don't do that. It's not a good thing at all. It's not a blessing. You see, when Judas, because of money, he met with the guys and they promised him money. Bible says, and Satan entered into him. And from that moment, he has been with Jesus. He had been made minister in charge of finance and everything. He still turned aside and went. He had forgotten all the blessings he had gained from Jesus. And then went to collect. He has sold and denied Jesus. So you are no more important to me. Jesus said, anyone who follows me will get fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, you know, and lands and all those. He was wondering, I followed you, where are the lands? Well, whatever. So he went for the money. He went and bought land, but that land was land for his barrier. There's some money you are getting for your barrier. I'm speaking prophetically. It's not in my notes. I'm just telling you something serious. The Holy Spirit is detecting things into my spirit man. You may not know, I'm a very serious prophet. I was born in a prophet's house, anointed by a prophet. Are you here with me? And so this guy went to touch them. He had forgotten what the prophet Jesus had done before him. And they went. And then he told them, not the one I stand by, but the one I kiss. He's the one, go for him. So they also, he went and kissed Jesus. And the people went for Jesus. And Bible says that woe unto the one who brings that offense. Are you here with me? He went and kissed Jesus. Now, the moment he went and kissed Jesus, the Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. It was the beginning of his execution, of his death. Judas died before Jesus died. Tell you, are you here with me? He touched the anointing and didn't enjoy what he went to get. There are things you can get, but you not enjoy it. He went and touched him. And the Bible said, touch my anointed, do my prophets no harm. He went and the moment that he died, the spirit of death started arresting him. And then you know what? Hold on, just one, don't disturb me. Just sit down. He went and then he had to hang himself. Listen, it's not an easy thing for anybody to hang himself. Myself. It's even an art. You have to know how to tie the neighbor cords, reef knots and things like that, because other than thing will come in. You know, and so for you to hang and then go and stand on something and then try and look for whatever, a rope, and he hung on his up on a tree. You mean, he had to look for the right side of the branch and throw it, and nobody killed him. The moment that he touched the Lord's anointed, the spirit of death, he initiated the activity of the spirit of death upon his life. Are you here with me? And that was it. Two people denied Jesus. Yeah? Peter. But this one's own, Peter's own was under pressure. Right? Yeah. Do you know Jesus said, me? I will slap you. His own. You see, so sometimes some of the betrayers and denials is because of some kind of pressure. And Peter too, he didn't try. When they say, by the time the cock crows twice, you the rooster, you deny me three times. Normally, by that night, why don't you go and hide yourself and sleep? And even take a sleeping tablet, so that by the time the morning is over, you are finished. But he was in town. And then the temptation affected him. You know why the temptation affected him? Because he didn't pray. So I'm going to teach you something later, not today, that your prayer will deliver you from a temptation. There's a temptation to do this. There's a temptation. I was under temptation. In my moment of need, temptation to go to Germany, temptation to go to America. I remember one time I was in Holland and somebody came and said, a white man told me, I hear you are going back to Africa. Don't you think it's better here? Stay here. Temptation. People are looking to go and step in Amsterdam one day and say, thank you, Amsterdam, I'm here. But me, as I was there, I was in a hurry to come back to Ghana. Not that anybody was sacking me. I said that that's not my destiny. I was in England. One guy said, who do all your documents for you? Stay here. Stay here. What are you going to do in the Africa there? When people are conjugating their name to come, you have come, you got a visa, you say you are going back. Temptation. But because you have prayed and you know the will of God, you can, even in the furnace, you get in there. God knew that I'm going to come here. I'll be insulted by people. People will turn their backs at me, people, whatever, and all those things. But it's the will of God. That is why Jesus said, you know, Jesus was under great temptation when he was being beaten. Eh? He could have just said, Lord, it's enough. This beating is too much. I won't go through the cross again. Just said that, no, I won't go through the cross again. You know, Lord, finish him. Legion of angels, come, finish him. But for your sake, he said, not my will, but let your will be done. The prayer he had prayed in Gethsemane, his Gethsemane prayer. So everybody, you must have your Gethsemane. You must have your Gethsemane where you are taking some people. That's why sometimes you see me, I'll leave the family, I'll leave everybody. And say, I'm going to pray. Go to talk to God. In the night, you are there, you are praying. Because if you don't pray in the night, the temptation in the day will overtake you. I don't know whether I'm helping somebody today. Temptation. Amen. So the moment that Judas went to touch the anointing, he opened the door for destruction in his life. And he died. And this is just to fulfill Hebrews. Is it Hebrews 8, 7? Good. Or is it 7 something? Look at it. The one, the ground that has been watered. When it's equal to being cursed. Quickly, look at that. This is my final speech. Are you being blessed? Have you learned something today about agreements? Yeah? Yeah. This is only the introduction to my... I'm talking about... You see, my main topic was about how about if you disagree with your father, your leader, or whatever, what do you go about it? But the first, Paul said, there must be what? You must agree. There should not be any, you must agree, no division and things like that. Oh, Hebrews 8, 7. Try Hebrews 8, 7 or 7, 8. One of them quickly for me. The ground that has been watered, if it's been, oh, Jesus, glory to God. Is it frozen or what? Please, somebody open your scripture. Hebrews 7, 8. Or 8, 7. Some of you have quoted the scripture. When I quoted, you must know. All this, my pastor, I'm going to sack you. When I give the scripture, you don't know it. No, you have been sacked from being a pastor for the hour. Hey. Yes, where is it? Yeah, give it to me. Hebrews 7, 8. No, that's not it. 8, 7. I said, the ground that has been watered, if it produces stones, it's supposed to be... Just put Google there. Eh? Yeah, but I don't have to say. Just once I give you the cue, just put it there. Oh. At least if I said 7, 8 is not working, you must go to, you know, 6, 8 or 8, 7. That's smartness. Start from the verse 7. Uh-huh. This is where the thing is. Even you have... For the earth which drinks in the rain that comes... Do it New King James for us. More brothel. Charlie, you guys, you are not helping me. Let's read together. The earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it. The rain that often comes upon it. The Bible talks about what? The former rain and what? The latter rain. Talking about what? The anointing. Eh? It's anointing. The earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs, useful for those whom it is cultivated. It bears herbs. When the rains come, it bears herbs. Receives blessing from who? From God. So it means that when the ground is watered and it bears the right herbs, it receives what? Blessing from God. Is that right? Good. Now verse 8. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected It is what? Rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. So you see, Judas has been watered. He has been blessed. And instead of producing fruits, he produced thorns, something that was pricking Jesus and briars. He was rejected and cursed. Are you here with me? Yeah. So the point I'm making is that when you have been blessed, that is why, listen, if you curse your father, you do things against your father or your mother, you dishonor them, you don't stand with them and go, you come under a curse. There are things that constitute mocking. Yeah. There are things that when you do, I think it's Proverbs 30 or something. The eye that mocks a father, he says that the birds of the air will pluck it out and the vultures will eat it. Yes. Are you here with me? When Judas didn't honor Jesus, a curse came on him. Is that right? He touched the anointed. When Absalom touched the anointed, David was the Lord's anointed. The moment he touched the Lord's anointed, what happened to him? He died prematurely. There are many people whose lives are terminated, cheap like that. So awesome, I say, because they went to touch that which we don't touch. There are things and there are people we don't touch. Are you here with me? I'm teaching spiritual things, so. And don't see it like the man is threatening. I'm not threatening anybody. It's your decision, the way you want to live your life and all those things. But me, as a pastor, I have a responsibility to teach you the right things. That's why I'm teaching you what I'm teaching you. Because sometimes somebody says, I didn't know. I remember years ago, went to the north, preached people something, and the people say, oh, we didn't know this. So it's better that you know and that you don't put yourself into something. And you teach your children. I tell my children, don't laugh at any man of God. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't mention it. Don't laugh at anybody who has helped you. Rather honor the person. Amen. Yeah. And when people have lifted you up at a certain point, always remember those who raise you up at a certain point. Never forget them. Yeah? That is why you don't forget your mother. At a certain stage in life, you may not need your mother's breast milk. Your mother's breast milk has fallen. There's not even milk in it. So there comes a time that your mother's breast has no milk in it. Your mother is a useless person to you. But for some people, you see, most children are very, very selfish. They go to their mothers because their mothers are giving them food. They go for their mother's breast milk. But the moment that their mother's breast milk is finished, they don't need the mother's breast milk. Now they can eat kenke, and at a certain point in time, they can buy their own kenke. Their mother is no more important to them. Because the time they were going to their mother was because of their mother's breast milk and the mother's cuddling, and now I've become a man, I've got muscles, I don't need your breast milk. Even now, cry, your breast is depleted of milk. And sometimes you are related to somebody and you say that, I don't think now you can provide me with this. I think now this other person can give me this. So you reject the first person, you are in trouble. I'm going to teach you something here. You don't reject. The rock that you were from which you were hewn. You don't forget your background, your basics. Because if they didn't help you, that's why every time I never forget people who have done things. You say, you used to give me food, you used to do this, you used to do this. Because if that man didn't help you at a certain stage in life, where would you be? Amen. I don't joke with Dr. Ampia Kofi because in his church I got married and then he blessed my marriage. The wife carried the duku when she was a baby. That's why when she was coming to marry, she came and cut the cake. Remembrance. The man came to do the wedding. Did outdoor and wedding. Yes, remembrance. But I've met many men of God. Are you getting me? relate with many, many powerful, whatever, and all those things. But he must be dear to you every time. Honor him anywhere I go. He's first. Anywhere I go, go. Take his Bible, whatever. When I meet him, I make sure that his car is moving. There's space for him. When there's anywhere, he has a chair to sit on. Hey! Has a chair to sit on. He has this, he has that, he has that. Go to him to honor him. Honor. Nashte, are you learning something? Yes. I carried you in my hand like a baby. Come, come and stand me. See, this guy, he was a, when he was born, I adored him. Now I can't carry him in my hand. I put him in my hand like this. He was in my hand like this. The picture is there, so he can't deny it. That's why it's good to take pictures. I carried him and spoke over him, prayed over him to be spiritual, to be intelligent. He's a mechanical engineer, and he's a minister. The prayers I prayed over him is working. So after I have watered your life, and now your mustache has become more mature than mine. Look at his mustache, like a German police. Mustache, his beard and everything, you know. And now his stomach has become flat. My own has changed. Don't look at yours and say, look at daddy's own. Because some years ago, it was not like this. Amen. So you should never turn his back on me. Because I've watered his life. I prayed for him from his infancy. Helped him. Now he's found a beloved. And by the grace of God, you'll be married. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's how to be in a home. And I'm interested. All everybody, find a beloved. Go to school. Go to this. Go to that. That's it. Chasing you. I said, what your Baloka will not tell you, I'll tell you. Go and become this. So when all you have to do, according to scripture, is to honor me. Even when you are not happy with me. And you don't have to leave me. And maybe don't get the soul care. I think I listened to another man of God somewhere. And I think now he's got some revelation. I think, what's the name? Is it another? I think there's some guy called Joshua Selma. And another one, there's another Suleiman or something. And another one, they preach all very powerful. Suleiman is not your pastor. Joshua Selma is not your pastor. Joshua can give you $1 million. He can easily give you. But if I didn't speak the things I spoke to you over when you were young, and then the way I've helped you over the period, you know I've gotten to this point where Joshua can give you that money. You probably would have died. Are you here with me? Some prayers and some things, you would have died. We fear being from Kamukumudadada. The tongues I spoke is that the witches from his background would have killed him. But spiritual coverings and prayers and things and all those things preserved his life to this point. And obviously, over the period, God will bring somebody to come and be a blessing to you, but you don't reject the one who has been a father in your life. This woman sitting here has been with me for many years. Zoe, Lady Pastor Zoe. Yeah, she's been with me for many years. She has a golden voice. She's one of my dearest daughters. Yes, very. Anything you tell her to, she did. Works the reputable, whatever. It's been with me. She's seen people. She's heard things about me. But you see, your father is your father. People who say things about your father in the area, the community, he's your father. He's been with me, standing with me. And God is prospering her. A precious woman. Yes, prospering her. And sometimes, you see, when you see somebody looks now weak in your eyes compared to somebody else, don't think he's weak. When Isaac thought he was going to die, which he didn't die, and his eyes were going dim, he told his journey. prepare me. The venison that I like, my soul will bless you. What he spoke, what has happened? Are you getting me? What he spoke. And when Jacob was about to die, they brought all his children and he started speaking, Reuben, you are this, you are this. And you see, Reuben has gone to tie their father's wife. He has dishonored the father. Eh? He said, Reuben, you are my firstborn. Genesis 49, 1 to 3. You shall not excel because you went to my father, my couch and slept. You went to sleep with the father's concubine. Instead of apologizing, he never apologized. See, a lot of times, fathers know things. And they may not say a word. The fact that your father has not confronted you doesn't mean that he doesn't know. Am I teaching something here? Eh? My pastor was like that. He knows a lot. He's a great prophet. But he wonder. You have to go and confess your own sins. Yes. And the day of his birth, he said, you shall not excel. Do you know what happened? Because of that statement, the Reubenites were dying. People, from no reason, maybe they didn't know the reason. But because a father has spoken. What is it that a father has spoken in his heart? He said, prepare me the venison that I like. After that, my soul will bless you. Those are the things that when you do, the person may not even open his mouth. But from within the recesses of his soul, things begin to happen. The Lord blesses my son. I remember when my father was alive, sometimes he would come around and I'll give him something. And he said, Ekum, that means that you bless me, or whatever. You know. And after that, I could see that certain things were happening. Some good things were coming my way. Because I honored the father. I blessed the father. Are you here with me? And there are times that somebody said, oh, but why do you do this? He didn't do so much the way he should have done. I said, a father is a father. It is a seed. Now take note of this as I end. Those of you who don't regard fathers properly, and the father's life has brought you to a certain extent, it is not everybody's seed that makes you see. Eh? There are some people, when they give birth, the seed of the person, the sperm of the person, doesn't produce a man that sees. Sometimes they can't see. They are blind. Some are deaf and dumb. Some are crippled. Some have all kinds of things. But so you, when by the grace of God you can see, don't, what you are seeing, now that you can see a deformity or a fault about your father. If you were blind, you would not have seen it. Yeah. Maybe God should have created, the seed of that man should have made you blind. Because there are other people who see that are blind. There are other people who see that are crippled. So if your father's seed made you crippled, now you run around and be able to say, Daddy, you'll be able to have, why would I reform you on the floor? How can you slap your father? The cripple, how can you slap? But now that his seed has made you stand strong, you are standing toe to toe, you want to slap him. If your seed, the seed that produced you, made you dumb, you will not have the ability to be able to speak against. So when you are in a place and the seed of a man's ministry has helped you to stand to a certain extent, don't never stand against him. At your workplace, the seed of your boss made you something. The seed of a father made you something. You see, I'm sharing this because there's always a temptation of people fighting their fathers, fighting their leaders, fighting their pastors, fighting their bosses, fighting, and it doesn't result in blessing. But you, I want you to walk in blessing. Come, let me pray for you. Father, I pray that your grace will cover him. He will not touch anointed. He will do no prophet no harm, but rather he will enjoy and walk in blessings. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Have I helped you today? So you must be in agreement. What brings agreement? Number one, agreement brings what? Attracts what? Blessings. May you attract the blessings. Thank you, sir. Number two, agreement attracts what? Answers to prayers. Amen. May you get your prayers answered. Number three, agreement brings God's what? Presence. Hallelujah. Do you know that the presence of God is here? That's how come God is speaking to us like this. So it's not in my notes. So. And I didn't actually even touch on it. I just the blessings of agreement, why there should be agreement, those four things were just an introduction that I was going to just, you know, spill it out to you within some 5 minutes. But that become a major thing. And all the other additions where I talked about adequacy, respect, admiration, that's a significant, and all those things, it just came by. Number three, number four, it gives what? Strength. Hallelujah. When people agree, they walk in strength. From today, may you receive spiritual strength. 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 Attract blessings. Receive answers to prayers. I said, attract blessings. Attract blessings. As you agree with your father, as you agree in the house, receive blessings. And number two, receive answers to your prayers. May you enjoy the presence of God. And may you walk in power. Strength. 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 Let there be no division or rancor. No envy and strife. But let there be unity. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey.